As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, and all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born that blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts and the giving of ourselves and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung dying in the rain because of love, because of love. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. I finally found the reason for living. It's in giving every part of my heart to him. In all that I do, every word that I say, I'll be giving my all just for him, for him. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. We are the reason, and he is my reason to live.
Thank you for that. Let's stand together and turn to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 47. As you are turning there, I want to read another verse here that we'll hear much about, of course, during the year, but and many of you already know it. Psalm chapter 11 verse 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Life, spiritual or non-spiritual, comes to us at warp speed. And sometimes there's so many things going on in our life and so many situations of life that we kind of sometimes feel like, man, what is going on? Reminds me, I told a story in our Sunday school class, but a little boy saw a television commercial, and it was, he saw this laundry detergent. So he goes down to the store, and he's going to buy the laundry detergent. And the guy at the store thought it was kind of weird. He goes, "Well, what do you want the laundry detergent for?" He goes, "I'm going to wash my cat." And he goes, don't buy that. He goes, "No, this is what I want to use." He goes, "If you use that, your cat will die." He's like, "No, he won't. Just I want to buy it." So, all right. So he sold him the laundry detergent. He comes back a couple days later, and the little boy comes back to the store. He goes, "Hey, how's your cat?" He's like, "He died." He's like, "I told you the soap would kill him." He goes, "The soap didn't kill him. It was a spin cycle." Okay. By the way, you should go home and try that if you have a cat. Brother Stein, just kidding. Life's like that though sometimes, right? All the stuff, and we feel like it's spinning. I know one thing, if we're attached to the foundation correctly, everything can be okay.
That's right, amen.
Luke chapter 6, verse 47. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built the house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Go ahead a few books to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. Bless our few minutes together, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A firm foundation. The strength of any structure is determined by the strength of the foundation upon which it is built. The problem with foundations are this: they are not visible to the outside. In other words, what we see when we look at structures is we see the structure. We don't see the foundation that is below, that is beneath. You look at some tall buildings, these skyscrapers. Long before they ever start even building that skyscraper, they spend a great deal of time and massive amounts of concrete for the foundation. If the foundation is weak, no matter what you build, no matter how you build, the structure will not work well. So the foundation is important in our lives also. And we want to strengthen that this year. We want to, of course, we always want to, when we talk about things, we want to have a strong church. We want to have a church that is foundationally strong. But there's things we do to keep that in line. But understand this: a church is only going to be as strong as its members. If we have strong members, strong people that lives are built on the right foundation, we will have a strong church. And so it's vitally important that we just get back. You can almost say it's just getting back to the basics. We have to stick with what is true, what is right, what is strong. Very important. We looked at the verses. The question from Psalms is a very penetrating one, and if you think about it. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nothing. If our Christianity and our righteousness is not built on Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is not a strong foundation, then Christianity is a facade and a fake at best. Right. You say, it just seems like Christianity isn't what it used to be in America, and there's so much differences and variations because a lot of them are building upon a false Christ. They've kind of taken Jesus Christ and they've kind of want to mold him into what they want him to be. Sometimes we do that with the Bible, don't we? We look in there not to find what God tells us is right. We go in there to try to find an excuse or a way around things so we can do what we want to do and what we think is right. Yep. The Bible is not built upon us. Christianity is not built upon us. The Bible is built upon the truth, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the truth. We read two portions of text. He gives a story of a man, two men that built their house, and they both put effort in. They both did the job, but one of them built upon a strong foundation, a rock. The other didn't have a foundation at all. And when the storms came, the importance of the foundation was revealed. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the foundation of Jesus Christ and what we do for him. And what we do for him is supposed to match the strength of the foundation, because there is no other foundation upon which we can serve except for Jesus Christ. Now, we can build wrong upon that foundation. By the way, you can have the right foundation and use the wrong materials and use them incorrectly, and things still won't work. Many years ago, there was one of the original wave of hurricanes that went through Florida. They were surprised that in this one particular housing tract that was fairly new, that most of the houses went down. And so they went in there and did an investigation. They found that the work was shoddy. The nails weren't in the right spot. They weren't using the right material. It was just cheap work. And when the storm came, it revealed. Now, the foundations could have been fine, but the building they built upon it was not right. So in our life, we need to have a firm foundation. I want to, in a few minutes, because I want to pass out something and have us make some challenges for the new year. I want to answer two questions this morning. First of all, why do we need a firm foundation? Why do we need it? Well, let me give you several reasons. First of all, to protect us from the storms of life. When you read the verses in Luke, it says, and when the storm came, not if. They were not building for an eventuality, something that maybe could happen, but they hope doesn't happen. They were building with the fact in mind that there was going to be a storm. Right. And by the way, in your life and in my life, storms will come. Problems will arise. They are a part of life. By the way, there's nothing you can do about the storm. Now, I will say this. If the building material is wrong on the foundation, some of the storms you bring upon yourself can't help you with those, except go back to what you're doing to create the storm and fix it. But many storms come our way. There's just nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we could have done about it. That's why it's important that at those times, when it's all beating down upon us, we have the proper foundation. It's coming. The storm is going to come. So I'm not having a storm in my life. Well, you're going to have one someday. As they always say, you have either just come out of a storm, you are in a storm, or you're going into a storm. But either way, it's going to be a part of your life. You're building for the future. And so we want to make sure that we anchor ourselves securely to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, so when the storms come, we won't be destroyed. Also, we need a proper foundation to prepare us for our service in life. That's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, they were talking about building, but the important thing was what were they building on? Well, they had the right foundation. If we're going to build properly, we need to have that right foundation. Listen, what does your life revolve around? What is important in your life? If you have that right foundation and you really consider and think about it, you're going to build the right structure. But it has to be for the right reason. The right reason is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. I think every person ought to, in some way, be serving other people. I believe in that. That's in the Bible. That our life is not about us. We are to live and give ourselves to others. That is the scriptural concept. Serving. Whether you serve in the church by, working in the nursery, driving a bus, whatever it is, singing in the, I was going to say singing in the nursery, that probably might help. Singing in the choir, any of that stuff. Or whether it's as you're out and about on your day and God allows you to help others. That's important, but it's only important if we do it for the right reason. We ought to do all of it because that's what our Savior wants us to do. And we understand that we are a representation of him. So to prepare us for service in life. Also, we need a firm foundation to position us for success in life. For success in life. There's a verse in Luke and in 1 Corinthians. He says, he is like unto a man which built a house, verse 48, and dig deep and laid the foundation. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. for he was founded upon a rock. In other words, whatever was going on around, whatever the nonsense, whatever the drama, they still had peace. They were sheltered from all that could have happened. Why? Because they were founded upon the rock. Now, when we use the word success, we sometimes get the wrong concept. We think of success merely in temporal financial circles. You know, success. God wants me to be rich. No, God doesn't want everybody to be rich. Now, personally, I would hope he would want a lot more of you to be rich. Amen? We get that building done really fast. But listen, that's not success. Success is finding what God wants you to do in life. It's obeying what he says in life and making it through life to the best of your ability, following him and doing what he wants you to do and spending time with him and being able to do it all successfully because our life is built on him. And in 1 Corinthians, he says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. The picture there is, we build upon the foundation of Christ, everything we do. And one day when we get to heaven, we will be accountable to God for what we've done for him. Now, we will not stand before God for our sin because our sin's already been dealt with. Amen? If we're saved, we're not going to go to heaven, and God's not going to play back our life. Here's all the stuff you did wrong, and here's your sin. What do you got to say about it? That's all been dealt with. We will stand before God and be accountable for what we did for him. And if what we did, we didn't take seriously, and it's wood, hay, or stubble, it wasn't much. If fire comes, it takes wood, hay, or stubble, and it disappears. But if it's the other thing, the precious jewels and the materials, fire purifies those. They last. So if we're going to have success in this life, and really even have reward in the afterlife, it depends upon what we build upon. Two verses we know well. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. We think about God's word so that when situations of life come, we know what to do based on what God would tell us to do. What's the result? For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. You know, God wants us to be successful. He just wants it to be his definition of successful. We all want to be successful. But it comes by following God's word and doing what he says. And when we're following his God's word, anything we put our hand to will succeed. Why? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. And whenever we do what God wants us to do, he's in. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You look in the Bible and you think about people that prospered in negative situations. Think about Daniel. Daniel living in wicked Babylon and all the stuff that they did, the lion's den and his buddies thrown in the fire, all that nonsense. Yet Daniel was successful. He lasted through several different world powers, multitude of world leaders, and yet Daniel was always right there. Why? He just followed God. Like David in conflict, he faced Goliath. Goliath was a huge obstacle. David was just a youth, but David didn't rely on his kung fu skills or any of that nonsense. He relied on God. And down went David, and down went Goliath. Like Joseph, being lied about by his brothers and sold into bondage, and then lied about by Potiphar's wife, and then he's in prison. And next thing you know, vice president of Egypt. How did that happen? He just followed God. Job, look at Job and all the crisis that he had. Lost all of his children, lost all of his money, all of his possessions, and his wife is getting on him. But he says, Lord giveth, Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he was prosperous. God doubled him at the end. You look at the Apostle Paul. Oh, what a great man, and all the books of the Bible he wrote. Did you see all the problems he went through? Huh? But yet he prospered. They all had a firm and solid foundation. So now you know why we need the foundation. very, very quickly, what's involved in a firm foundation? Let's be specific. First of all, we must be meeting with the Lord. Luke 6:47 says, whosoever cometh to me. Well, I want the Lord to be a part of my life. I understand that Jesus is the foundation and I want him to be the foundation of my life. Well, let me ask you something. Are you going to him? You know, Jesus doesn't chase you down. Now, he seeks us and he wants us to get saved, but it's our choice. But if we're going to be close to him, we're going to have to get to him. Yep. We have to take the steps that are necessary. It's up to us. I say it over and over, and it's always true. You're as close to God as you choose to be. I just don't feel very close to God this morning. It's because you're choosing not to be close to God this morning. Okay? If you're married, and I know none of the couples in our church would ever have this issue, but say you have a little issue in your marriage, like, you know, maybe I've heard about other people at other churches do. And you're not talking very much to each other. Okay? I don't personally know anybody that's ever happened to. Listen, that thing can be fixed, but you have to choose to fix it. You know, it's not just all of a sudden happen. You know, problems have to be dealt with. Yeah, take initiative. Well, if we're going to have the right relationship with God, we got to take the initiative. We've got to go to him. Whosoever cometh to me, God wants us to meet with him. How do you meet with the Lord? Well, we need to meet with him in his word regularly on our own. And I think we can help and be encouraged to meet with him when we come to church. Some of us disattach ourselves and we're way too unfaithful to that. But it's not just meeting with him. Next, it's listening to him. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. Heareth. Some people listen, but they don't hear. Right? You ever talk to somebody and tell them something? As soon as you're done, they're like, hey, what was that? It's like, did you not listen? I mean, well, do I need to speak another language? Maybe we can learn sign language. I'll talk to you twice. They tuned you out. They were cognizant of the fact that there was noise coming from your mouth, and they heard a couple words, this one, and I heard that one. But it's like speed reading. You know, I don't do speed reading, but speed reading is, you know, you get like some of the words, and your mind kind of figures it out. That doesn't work with listening, with hearing. Blah, 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 house. Blah, 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 church. Blah, 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 money. Huh? Okay, get the whole thing. He says, listen. You got to listen to what I'm saying. It seems that we just listen to everybody in this world but God. Isn't that not true? Our friends tell us something, and that holds weight, even if it's wrong. We listen to foolish talk show hosts on television that have an IQ of a plant. And you say, how do you know that? Listen to what they say. Well, I just feel la-di-da. What we should hear with the Bible. Some political leaders, some false teachers, athletes. Listen, just because you can run down the field with a football doesn't mean you're going to tell me how to live. Okay? Because if it wasn't for the fact that you could run down the field with a football, you'd be working at Wiener Schnitzel. Okay? Everything's been handed to you on a platter and they don't even know the real world. They're going to tell us about it. And they go to their mansion. Anyhow, I'm getting off. Let's get back to the foundation. There are competing voices everywhere, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Do we really hear him? Are we listening to his word? And then that has to lead to this last one, obedience to the word. Obedience. Whosoever cometh to me, heareth my saying, and doeth them. You said, oh man, I always knew there was a catch. Jesus isn't talking just to talk. He wants us to get what he's saying. He wants us to do what he's saying. The only blessing that comes from God's word is when we're willing to do what it says, because the blessing is in the obedience. And so I hope that we're always open to whatever God says. You say, well, I've got everything pretty well nailed. I don't need anything else. Then you're not catching it. The time that you won't need to change is when you die. Okay? You'll be fine then. Until then, on a regular basis, we need to be learning and we need to be growing and we need to be getting what God has for us on a regular basis. Obedience. Someone gave an illustration one time that I 1,000% disagreed with. And he said that, well, you know, it doesn't matter if you obey the word. As long as you're hearing it, it'll help you. He says, it's like a strainer. You know what a strainer is? It's like when you cook pasta and you want to cool it down, you put it in the strainer and all the water falls out and the pasta stays in the strainer and the water goes through, right? It doesn't hold water. He goes, but even a strainer, if you run water through it, it won't keep any of the water, but it'll be cleaner. Well, let me just tell you something. We're not a strainer. God doesn't want the word of God flowing through us and right out of us. God wants us to retain it. Okay? That's what he talks about in James when he talks about engrafting the word. You make what you're hearing a part of your life. Obedience does that. And so it's important that we have the right kind of foundation. This year we'll talk much about it. But we all have a choice. What are we going to build our life upon? What are we going to build our life for? By the way, sometimes the younger we are, the less that we get it. But as you get more into life and things start to come at you and maybe you start having a relationship, get married, have children, don't wait till it's too late to say, you know what, I think I made a mistake. Let's just get on it right now. God wants what's best for you, but we have to build our life upon him. Ushers, if you could help me real quick, get those, you have those cards? I want to pass out a card. I just want us to consider a few commitments this year. You see which ones I'm talking about? The ones Raul dropped. Yeah, those ones. Sorry. If we want to do something in our life, I have found that you have to make a commitment. You know, I'm the type of person, like, if I want to do something, it has to be, I have to have a plan, right? There are projects when I walk around my house that I'm like, I was going to get to, and it's been, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get to that soon. And 2 or 3 years later, I'm like, I'm going to get to it now. Now, why did it take me 2 or 3 years to get to that? Because I didn't have a plan. It was just, you know, I just felt, I never committed to doing it, right? Like, all right, let me give a time frame. When am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And so you need to do that in life. How do we do that? We make commitments. Ushers, pass these out. I just want some basic commitments to make for you this year. These are not earth-shattering. They're nothing new. But I think that'll help us. There's so many different areas. But why don't we start with the basics? If we don't do the basics, you can't build upon anything else. You know, the first thing you do when you're going to build on a foundation, you put a strong frame up. Okay? Why? That's the structure. Then once you have the structure on a solid structure on the foundation, now you can start filling in all the other things around it. Four commitments I want you to just think about. First of all, area of church attendance. Faithfully be at church every week. Now, it says here, they added a little extra to it, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. We encourage people to practice what we call four to flourish. Be in your Sunday school class on Sunday morning. If you're newer and you're coming to church on Sunday morning, the services, you ought to get into an adult class, which starts at 9:30. It's a smaller group. You'll meet some people, that type of thing. But we encourage you. Say, well, I come on Sunday mornings. You know, this year, why don't you keep coming? Make it a commitment to come every week. But maybe you make a commitment. I'm going to come to another service. Maybe I'm going to start coming on Sunday night and Thursday night. We don't need less in this world. We need more encouragement. We need to be around each other more, encouraged and challenged. The second one is reading your Bible daily, spending time with God in prayer daily. Well, I read my Bible. Let's make it a point this year to do it every single day. By the way, we gave you a plan. That's an easy plan, Brother Chim. That's about, and how many minutes? About 10? Maybe you're a slow reader. Now, if you're Raul, it'll probably take half an hour or to an hour, but just it's 3 chapters a day, basically. You say, man, I already do that. I read my Bible every day. I read it through every year. You might want to try twice. I always try to mix mine up. Okay, what I've been doing for many years, I read it through 3 times a day. I take the Bible reading calendar, I start in January, and however many months, 4, whatever that be, May, and then what's September, and I'll read January 1st, May, and then September each day. And then I go through, and then when I'm done, I do it again. I can read it through three times. This last year, I read it through three times, but I wanted to read it straight through. So I would read 3 days at a time. So I would read, you know, nine chapters of Genesis or whatever it was. This year, I think I'm going to do something really different. I'm going to do the Old Testament twice and the New Testament four times. I've read before. I've read it through. I've read it through chronologically. How many have ever seen the chronological Bibles? Those can get a little confusing, but I've read those. Whatever it is, but have a plan. Challenge yourself and say, I'm going to do it this year. Now, don't say, I'm going to read 50 chapters a day, because you won't. You'll read 50 the first day. You'll read 20 the next day. Now you owe 80 the next day. See ya. Not going to happen, all right? But whatever it is, every day get in there. Every day get in there. Next, give weekly. Give something weekly. Okay, now the girls put tithe. I encourage you, start giving every week. We've made it simple. Simple give, all right? You can give online. You can give on your phone. You can give in whatever it is. But that's part of foundation. And then here's something I want you to think about. Invite someone to be at church with you. Now, we put every week. I encourage you to do it every day, but every week. Think of it this way. In our church, with the English, the Spanish, those that are out working in ministry, and those that are out on bus routes right now, we have over 400 adults in our church that are here on an average Sunday. Over 400. If every single one of them invited one person a day, okay, that would be how many in one day? 400. Thank you. 400 times 7 is what? 2,800. 2,800 times all year long is, carry the 3. A lot! A lot. 28,000. It'd be almost 150,000. Is that right, Brother Jim? Am I on drugs? Grab your phone real quick. Figure that out for me. 400 a day times 7 is 2,800 times 360. No, that's thank you. That's a number. I was going to say 365. We're going to have a longer year this year. Huh? That would be 145,000 people that got an invitation to church. Think about that. No, not times 10 years. Calm down, cowboy. We're just trying to get this year. But maybe you just do it once a week. 400 times 52 is several thousand. I don't know. 400 times, it's like a lot. 20,000. Just think about that. And it's not that hard. Just as you're out and about, look, when you go to the store, hey, let me invite you to church. Okay, I was getting my car washed, and I invited the guy over there. He sees me all the time because church gave me the free car wash. Thank you. And I went over there and invited him to church, and so he felt like, well, oh, hey, you're a pastor. Let me just tell you some things. And he told me his political views, which was great. But just invite people. And then as we go along, just always be open to God. This is for you. Make some commitments to build on the foundation and do the things we're supposed to do. Let's stand this together this morning.